I'm starting today, Lynn. Yesterday we recorded Just Start, and so I'm just taking the reins, and he's just, and then Lynn just started. So today I'm just starting. So welcome back to A Creative Affair, everyone. I'm Bree Stockwell. You're here with Lynn Metcalf, and today we are talking about our bag of tricks. And hopefully I edit this one and put it out after the one we recorded yesterday.
Yes, you're going to have to remember that, aren't you?
I'm going to have to remember that.
For, so yesterday we did, what did we do yesterday?
I don't remember.
It was called Just Start. Start. We talked about the idea that Just Start should just, it should be one of those things we drop into our bag of tricks.
That's right. And then you wrote down how we should do an episode on bag of tricks, and we're recording again today. And so we're doing an episode on our bag of tricks. So Len, to start us off, because I had said, I had messaged you earlier and said, maybe we should give it a different name. Like I was thinking something maybe a little bit more sexy than like bag of tricks.
Like
however,
have you got a sexier name?
No. But then you kind of gave me the context. So why don't you share, why don't we take this opportunity for you to share where this idea comes from?
I've been talking and experimenting with the origin, the story of origin for many things. And I think that sharing that story of origin can be quite enhancing at certain times. And you might notice I love to tell a story. So my story with a bag of tricks is I used to work in outdoor centres with kids in kids' camps, and I studied how to run activities and experiential activities to work with people. And I came across very early on the most famous person that that teaches people activities called Carl Ronke. And he had this lots of beautiful books, Cowtails and Cobras and Silver Bullets, and one called The Bottomless Bag. And he always refers to having a bag of tricks. And it might be in, a bag with a ball in it and a bit of rope and a few things like that that you dip into to play games with. But the metaphor is actually much stronger than that. It's a bag of things that you dip into when you need to use them. And the bag comes from the metaphor of a mother dipping into her handbag with all these things in there to pull out something to entertain the kids with, or to yes, I've got a Band-Aid in here, or yes, I've got that, or all these other things. So
that one I can get behind.
So there's our bag. And then my job morphed into training people to teach. So I spent most of my career as an educator teaching people to be better teachers. And I started to introduce to them this idea that we carry a bag, and not a physical bag anymore, but a mental bag. And in there we put a whole pile of little tricks that we use to help people, or to help our cause, or to do what we're doing. So I started putting into my bag very, very quickly not only all these games, but things to help deal with behavioral problems. Like I have an escalator approach where I step things up slowly and slowly and slowly. I just don't go straight for the kill at the first moment. But I put all these different things into this bag, and then I can just pull them out. And so the idea is that we extend that to creativity. So let's now start with our bag of tricks for creativity. And the key to this is each of us put our own little things in there. So in my little bag of tricks, little techniques that I use to get out of being stuck or not knowing what to do or what am I going to do next, one of them in there is the words "just start." And it's almost like an imaginary piece of paper, and I can dip my hand in and pull it out and go, "Ooh, just start." And it reminds me that, hey, I need to go off and just start instead of stop worrying about it or thinking about it. So Over the years, I think I've developed quite a large bag of tricks, but as someone who teaches creativity, I encourage people to create their own bag of tricks.
I love it. I think it's really great to have a selection of things that we know works for us. And part of this is going to come from, well, our bag is, we're going to slowly collect things as we try them out and we hear about it or read about it and we try it and we see if it works for us, and then we can keep that one. And some others, I know that there might be some that work for you that do not at all work for me. But I think in general, there are some pretty universal things. And so we're just going to start sharing ours and kind of talk about each one, and we don't really know where this is going to go. So I'll start with one of my tricks. I love to just pause and do a quick, like, 5-minute journal session. That's one of my little tricks, especially if I'm feeling super stuck. I don't tend to run away from the things that are in my head anymore, and I don't judge them as much anymore. So this isn't a scary process as it used to be, a little bit scary. But now I can just journal for 5 minutes and go, oh yeah, that's what's going on. Or I might, it works in two ways. I might just be able to see what's happening. And also the other thing is, I might just have a lot of things in my brain that I might just need to put on paper that I can put aside and then go do the work I'm going to do. So I think this journaling works both ways, to kind of draw it all out and put it aside, or have a look and see, because there might be really something that really is keeping me stuck from moving forward. And in the journaling process, I can discover that. And that's actually really helpful. Like, I know, as an example, some of this new work that I'm doing on sustainable creativity, in my head, I'm like, oh, this is, I hope it's a book one day. But in my head, I was like, I think this is a book. So one day I think I'm going to have a book on this. And in my mind, a book seems so huge. And also, this is coming from a place where, like, a couple of years ago, I didn't think I was a writer. And so, so to go from that to, like, I might one day in a couple of years have a whole book seems like mind blowing. So it actually was, you know, when I was thinking about, oh, like, I wanted to write this article very specifically for my website, which is up there now. I'll put a link to it in the notes, but it's on creative energy. And I was like, why am I not writing this? And so I just sat and journaled, and I'm like, oh, it's because I'm thinking that this is going to be such big work and da da da, and I'm making it into this big, huge deal. And when I discovered that, then I was like, no, this isn't a big deal. I'm just going to write some stuff and write what's important, and then I'm just going to move on. Nothing big has to happen now. So that's just a little personal example of how journaling can, like, you know, help you. What's journaling, in yours?
Journaling's amazing, isn't it? It's a it's something you have to try and experience. Someone telling you to do it doesn't really convey how special it is and how it works. But that's something I've been doing as well. I carry artist books around. And I have a whole shelf, like a full bookshelf of books that I've collected and written in and drawn in and made notes in over my whole life. Like, they go right back to when I was a kid. And I have 8 that I'm working on at the same time. Like, there's 2 sitting next to me here. There's one next to my bed. There's one in my bushwalking pack. There's one in my camera bag. Like, they're everywhere. And then I start new ones for purposes. But journaling, it's incredible. I think part of it is getting the words out of you. Something happens when you pull them out of you. And it's interesting. I found that it's not the same as journaling on my phone or on the computer. I find that physically writing, it's a different emotional and intellectual process. There's a a bit of a different release there. So that's a really good one to have in your bag, Brie. I like
Thanks.
That one.
Thanks. I agree. And I write on my iPad. And guess what? You know, I was just thinking, we talk about this whole, all we pick apart journaling in an episode called Journaling. So I'm just going to link to that. You can go back and listen to that one if you want to. So that's a good, it is a good one to have in your bag. And I think it helps. I think you'll find it's helpful in all kinds of different ways for different reasons. So yeah, it's just a good overall one. So don't take our word for it. Go try it.
Mm.
What else is in your bag? What's in yours?
I've got a favorite one that is actually a physical item that I throw in my bag, and it's a little tiny thermos that I drink out of. And I can't drink coffee, and I don't drink milk anymore, so I have to have herb tea in it. But I have a nice hot herb tea in my thermos.
With milk?
With no milk, because I stopped the milk. And my trick is I take that every time I go out with my camera to take photos and make art, and I sit somewhere beautiful, and I just stop, and I take 20 minutes, and I have to sip it, and it's not a quick fill myself up drink. It's sit down and actually just be there and enjoy the sense of space and sit and go through my tea nice and slowly. And something happens to me physically, and something also happens to me mentally. It's a relaxing, it's a calming down, it's a letting go, it's a meditative, it's a grounding thing. So the physical of sitting and having my cup of tea actually does something that's very, very mental and emotional and grounding. So yeah, that's one of my little, that's actually my favorite accessory when it comes to making art, is my little thermos, so I can have these little moments. Like when I was younger, I was a smoker, I'd go and have a cigarette and look at the art. But those days have now passed, and thank God I'm no longer addicted to that that process. Having things in your bag of tricks is it's different for each of us. And as you're listening and hearing, you'll start to understand, well, we're hoping that you'll understand that you need to collect things that work for you, and it's worth trying what other people do. That's one of the reasons I head off to go to workshops, or is to find out what other people are doing and have in their bag of tricks.
Yes. One of the things that I have is, I have all kinds of them, but I guess, is ditching expectations. I like, if I find myself all worried about whatever I'm going to do, I can just literally go, oh, right now I'm going to take away all. I'm just going to literally, it's almost like I take expectations in a little ball and I crumple it up, like, you know, write it on a piece of paper, crumple it up, throw it away. I don't actually do that. Hello, Momo. I don't actually do that with the paper, but it's almost like I'm just throwing them away, because if I feel myself getting like, oh, so wrapped up in what everything's going to be like, I can just ditch them. I literally say, okay, I'm ditching all that, all those expectations right now. And it really takes a lot of my own personal pressure off, because who knows what it's going to look like. And it doesn't have to be perfect, because that's actually what's probably happening, is some perfection, but ditching expectations is a good one for me.
No, that's absolutely fascinating. And that's quite a hard one, isn't it? You actually have to identify what the expectation is, I think, is part of the trick in that. Is like, oh, hang on, I'm starting to project something. Oh, hang on, this is actually exactly what it is. Oh, no, I don't need to do that. Identification is a way to deal with those things, isn't it?
Yes. And let me insert this, which is not that I want to mask those things, because I don't always like to just replace, but if as I'm doing the ditching of the expectations, I'm also opening myself up to possibilities. Like, what other possibilities might there be other than the thing I'm thinking that it might, you know, need to be at the end. So I'm actually doing a kind of a two-way thing. So ditching expectations and getting more curious and open and wondering about the possibilities. So I think those two can really go hand in hand.
Which you've reminded me of one of mine, and that is to replace things. You actually replace one thing with something else. So if you have an expectation that's getting in your way, you create a new one that competes with it and becomes more important. And I actually picked that one up from a book called Don't Shoot the Dog, which is how to teach people. And it uses behavioral modification as a training process in this particular book. And it takes training tricks from animals and brings it into human life. And of course, we're mammals as well. So we respond often in quite similar ways. And
I perform for treats.
You perform for treats. And it talks about how you actually replace one behavior with a different behavior. So if you're thinking about one thing, train yourself to actually think about something else so that it's going to do that. And I was just, you know, muttering about smoking. I replaced my smoking with a sugar addiction now. So now I have to give up sugar, but I changed it to lollies. And I carry packets of lollies around for that moment when I actually would reach for a cigarette. So I actually changed the behavior by replacing it. That works really well for thoughts too, doesn't it?
Yeah, it can. And the secret is that if you find yourself in an old like thinking pattern, right, or thinking like dwelling on something that you are trying to get rid of, is not criticizing yourself for it. Just noticing it's happening and then go, oh, this is not what we're doing right now. I like have conversations with myself. Okay, this is not what we're doing right now. This is actually what's happening. So I just catch it and go, you know what? That's okay. We're redirecting now. So, and I actually think this takes me to another one of my tricks, which is sticky notes. I love sticky notes. Now, I don't have any here right now, but if there's something very particular that I'm working on, I will put the thing that I want to be thinking or believing on a sticky note or something to remind me up on a sticky note and put it up on my computer. I'll put it up on my mirror. I'll put it actually in several places because I just want that reminder more often. And I think sticky notes are like the best invention. They're small. They're like, you know, they're really portable. So like all the time I have them actually, you know, you talked about a mom's bag of tricks. I have them in my purse with a pen, like all the time, you know, cause you never know when you're going to need one. And, I'm just using them in that way all the time. Like I'm writing, I know there was something I wrote down recently and I'm trying to remember what it was. Oh, I had a coaching session and this is something I want to remember is, I'm going to put it right here on my screen. I'm the authority right now. So this thing that I'm working on, I'm feeling a little bit like who else is doing this? And I don't know. And I want to remind myself that I know actually a lot about this because I'm the authority right now. So that's just a little sneak peek into my own brain, but this is something that I want to work on. And so I've got the sticky note up there to remind me. So I think sticky notes are amazing. Did you know you can get giant ones?
Like, yes, you can get them as up to A2, which is 16 by 20 inches, I think is the size that.
Giant, yeah.
Yeah, huge ones. We have them in training rooms. So we put them on the whiteboard and move them around the room. They're fantastic.
I had a client who was making plans, like just laying some stuff out, and they got these giant sticky notes and just put them across the wall. Like, this is what I, you know, and then it was like low stress. You don't have to, you know, they don't have to be permanent, but I just think they're so great for all kinds of different applications.
Very much
sticky
so.
Sticky notes.
One of my things in my bag of tricks is I name my projects, as the project starts to evolve into something, I start naming it. And it's interesting that many other artists do this. I was reading Moreau's beautiful book where this gentleman actually interviews him, and he talks about how he names the painting really quite quickly, as because he's an incredible abstract painter, isn't he? And he does these beautiful sort of molecular sort of feeling, microbe sort of characters that emerge from his paintings. And so as he's painting away, a figure starts to emerge and he names it something. And then he actually takes the painting towards the name. And this is part of his process. And I've found that once I name a project, it helps me stay focused on it. And it's not often the same name that I'll use when I publish it. I'll swap it around, but I have these sort of working titles that help me focus into working in projects, which is in itself in my bag of tricks, is actively working on projects and series of works rather than on individual pieces. And I find that I perform better when I work on groups of works rather than just individual ones. And I have a few of these really beautiful happy accidents and they sit out there by themselves, but I feel like they need friends and I need to make buddies for them and other artworks that they can have conversations between each other to build up a much deeper and more meaningful conversation with me as the artist or with you as the viewer. And so projects also goes into my bag of tricks, and then naming them also fits in there. So
that's a twofer.
That's a twofer. I didn't mean to take up two spots there, but your turn.
I don't think there's counting involved here. Now I forgot what I was going to say. Oh, I know what I was going to say. And I love that idea. And you don't have to work on, you know, projects, but giving yourself, you know, if you want direction, that's such a great way to do it, you know, to get yourself moving forward is just even for works that you already have, how can you put them together in new ways? And we've also done a whole podcast episode about projects, so I'll link to that one too. I feel like we're going to have a whole slew of all these things that we talked about. One of the things, something else in my bag is actually breathing exercises. I have this whole list of, I call it my stress relief guide. And there are different ways of like breathing, moving my body, you know, just some different tricks and that I can do to like ease some stress. And I'll just go on my little, depending on how I'm feeling. And first I know I'm stressed when I feel it in my shoulders. So it like radiates, it's like tight in my shoulders and it radiates up into my neck. And I think everyone maybe feels a little similar, or you might feel stress a little bit differently. You might get a headache or whatever, but it's important to relieve that because, you know, stress is like, actually stress causes a lot of problems, you know, physiologically too, not to mention, you know, some like mental blocks. So I just know that this is important for me. And so I just have that list, and depending when I notice that I am feeling stressed, I just decide which one I want to do. And one of them, I'll give it to you right now. One is like shaking like a wet dog.
I'm going to get Momo wet and watch.
Yeah. Like, you know, dogs kind of like start at the head and shake down to their tail. And, you know, what's funny is that all of these exercises are actually just going into your body, and I'm doing things that are kind of a little bit primal, like, or, you know, just moving your body. And so that's kind of the key, is you do a breathing, which gets you in your body, or you're doing some sort of movement. Another one is just called the hang. And so you bend down, like I'm doing this with my hand. You just bend over. You just kind of
like
flop
touching
over.
Touching your toes almost sort of thing.
Yeah, but you just allow your hands and your head to go limp because you literally cannot. Try it. Try it right now. Everyone who's, if you're standing up or if you're not, just stand up. Not if not, if you're driving or whatever. If you can, literally just hang down and let your arms shake out because you can't tense any of like those muscles. It's not, I don't think it's like physically possible to do that. You know, so your legs are holding you up, but that, you know, you could just hang there and breathe in through your nose, out through your mouth for as long as it takes. Like you just cannot be tense in that situation. I just gave you a couple of mine in my little list.
My stress starts in my stomach, and I get that, you know, that intuition feeling of sick to the stomach is, remembering that the physical manifestation of a feeling is where it starts, and learning to identify it at the beginning and actually stop it before it goes further down that path to sickness or to anxiety or other sort of mental stresses with it is really, really important, isn't it? You need to stop it as soon as you notice it, and learning to notice and then also identifying, oh, okay, this has happened before. This is the start of something. I need to fix it now rather than let it to escalate into something else. Yeah.
Well, stress creates cortisol, and cortisol is really terrible for, you know, especially long-term for our bodies. And, you know, or if you're stressed and you're trying to sleep, we also need sleep. So there's so much that stress does to us that is really undesirable long-term, you know? And so when we start having tools, you know, like releasing expectations or even just something physical that we do, then we actually perform better. We actually put ourselves in a more creative space when we can just relieve that stress. So if you need stress relief in your bag of tricks, go look online. There's a lot you can do, and it's not eating food or, you know, it's not masking the stress, actual stress relief activities. So I'll just say that. What else is in your bag, Len?
I'm going to do a two for two. I'm going to do a very quick one. I clean my desk and I clean my space. So that we've talked about that over and over in the past. So there's a quick one in my bag. Just quickly tidy up and use that time to think about what I'm doing. But the other one that I was thinking, and I keep losing it and it keeps coming back, and it's actually do what we're doing now. And that is talking to other people about what you're doing and having and creating a community around you of other creatives that are also working on their creativity and making art or making music or writing things or painting or taking photos, whatever it is, that communication process, like writing in your journal, which is a very one-on-one thing, isn't it? It's very much about just you and that journal. That is, talking with someone else is an incredibly powerful way to learn to understand how you work, to learn how other people understand how they work and try different things. It's also incredibly powerful for motivation and support. You need to be obviously talking to people that share similar values and that are supportive of what you're doing, not the naysayers or the ones that aren't, because we have people like that in our life that we show our art to and they laugh at us or mock us. They're not the people that we're inviting into this process of communication. And I really encourage you to create meaningful buddies around art that are supportive and encouraging and love your work and love you, and that you can open up to and actually share your stresses with and share your bag of tricks with, share your art with. use it. I really believe in the power of communities, and that's why I've created the Artists Club. It's about creating spaces for people to meet and to share and to help each other and to educate each other in a supportive framework. And I think supportive framework is very, very important, because we want to help each other grow. We don't want to be going, oh, that's wrong, that's bad, that's no good, you shouldn't be doing that. And all that negative stuff gets in our way of creativity. We need to be in that, oh, have you tried that? Or you can't make a mistake. That it's not as bad as you think it is. We need that sort of support around us, don't we? The encouraging words that the community. So in my bag of tricks goes creating meaningful communities, and it might just be another friend. Like, so you're one, Bree and I spend hours off air talking about our lives and our issues and our art and our creativity and what's going on. And we have a very, very close friendship, and it's an incredibly supportive and encouraging one. And that's really valuable. And it's not the only one. Each of us have so many of those, and they are incredibly so important. Like Claire was here yesterday, my book designer, and she helps me with my business. And we also had these wonderful conversations, and she pulls out from her bag Inktober, which I've never heard about before. And for the next hour, we're actually looking for all these incredible things. Like we talked about Creative February. There's all of these months where people do amazing art. So Inktober is drawing an ink drawing every day to a prompt. And I think it's from a website. Anyway, there's a whole lot of politics behind that particular one. But once we started looking, there's so many of these little communities around people actually helping each other and supporting each other to do art on a regular basis. It was just so beautiful. So community, communication, friendships, that goes into my bag, and I'm always looking to add people into there. So if I meet someone, I'm very quick to test and check to see whether they're valuable enough to put into my bag of friends and support. So Bree's in my bag.
I'm so glad to be in your bag.
Oh, I didn't mean that you're really in my bag, but I'm just, I know. Your friendship is incredibly important to me, and it's incredibly valuable. And, we met on a podcast, didn't we? And look where we've ended up.
Yeah. And who knew? And actually, while you were saying that, and yes, I also value your friendship. And while you're saying that, I'm like, we couldn't be more dissimilar. I mean, I don't think we're like opposites. We have these, similar threads, but that we really care about, that we're passionate about, but also there's a lot of parts of our lives that are totally the opposite. We even live on opposite parts of the world, right? So it's actually a really beautiful thing. I'm going to stack on top of your little idea, your big idea. I love community, and I'm always thinking about that too. And I'm going to say also mentors, having a good mentor.
Yes,
or a few.
Yes, yes.
I knew you would like that. I mean, we're both mentors in different, and slightly we overlap in our mentoring, but I think having a good mentor or several mentors is such a great thing, because I have, when I'm working on something, I don't like to necessarily always create in a vacuum. And I might have questions about something, and I just want to run it by somebody. And sometimes that person, I don't just always want to throw it out to the community, because sometimes what you do get is, oh, this is really beautiful, but I want to have maybe some really meaningful conversations with someone who is like a mentor. I can think of one photographer in particular that, you know, she and I, it's been really lovely this summer. We've been swapping some mentoring, and that was really cathartic, not cathartic, but like beneficial for me. I found it really healthy to share my work and not feel so, not feel afraid to talk about it. I just wanted to talk through it. And I knew that this person would talk through it with me in a way that was, I needed, if that makes sense. And I think it sometimes takes some time to figure out who these kind of mentors are. You may have to try some people out. But you know, it could be a one-off conversation. You know, I think mentors come in all different kinds of forms. You know, I've paid people to do Zoom mentoring. I've gone to, you know, workshops or even conferences. And I think you can find them in all kinds of different places, but I think the mentoring relationship is different than just the like community friendship, you know, have the conversation.
Part of that is how much people push you, isn't it? And I think part of the reason why that people say, oh, that's beautiful, is because they don't have a really solid structure on how to give feedback and to say what they mean. It's very similar to someone says, how are you today? And you say, I'm well. And you lie through your teeth. And to just present as being this, you know, altogether wonderful person instead of saying, oh, actually, I'm really struggling today. Like, that's not very normal for people like myself to say that sort of answer. And when it comes to art, because there's so much emotions involved and thoughts swirling around, if we're not careful when we blurt out what our real thoughts are, we can really upset someone. And as artists, we know how damaging that can be. So studying and learning a way to communicate and to help someone is a very valuable skill, and I'd encourage everyone to learn how to give constructive and helpful feedback to people in a well thought out process. And maybe we should make that one of our episodes one day, because we could easily talk about that for hours and hours. And maybe we already have talked a bit about feedback.
But we have
a mentor,
but we can do it again.
a mentor comes from this place of wanting you to grow, and finding the right one that fits you is so, so important. And there's the balance between how much they push you and how much they destroy you, how much they encourage you, how much you believe in what they say. A mentor can say a few little misplaced words and just can destroy a relationship with you. And I know I've done that over my life, so I know how easy it is to do that accidentally. And but finding that one that you trust, like I struggle to find mentors. And I need to believe that they have my best interests at heart and that they're trying to work with me and that they know enough about what they're talking about to really, really help me. And so sometimes having someone that isn't in the same specialty is actually really, really helpful. And so that's where, like, our friendship breathes. It's a friendship, but it's also a mentoring going on there as well, just within tiny little comments and supporting things.
True.
But yes, you have to find the one that fits, don't you?
Yeah. And I think you said right that trust is the word. You have to feel like you trust that person.
It's the same as finding a counselor, isn't it? You've got to fit them on, or a doctor. You've got to trust their judgment, and you need to have that built up to the point where, yes, I do trust this person. And so the more you trust them, the more honest you are. And the more honest you are in the relationship, the more powerful the learning from it, isn't it?
Yes. Trust. There's a quote that I love. It says, truth makes everything go faster. And so when you can just completely be open and truthful about anything, then you can do the work faster. It's really good. So I think another thing that I think should be in everyone's bag of tricks should be inspiration. And where do you find it? So if you feel maybe you're a little bit like you're stuck creatively, you have to know where you go to get in new inspiration. And I think this is so different for everyone. Len and I have photography books. I also have art books. Like, we did an episode on Georgia O'Keeffe, which I'll also link. But I bought a beautiful book that I love pulling out, you know. For some people, it might be some pieces of music. Wherever you find inspiration, you just want that in your bag. And you want to have ready access to it. So I'll sometimes create a list. I'll take photos of things and I'll have a little album on my phone that's like inspiration. And so I can just go on there and, you know, and look at things or figure out where to go. You know, it might be that there's a particular, you know, photographer or artist, and I just go to their website and that's all I do, you know? And so knowing where to get your inspiration, where you feel most inspired, is going to be really important for you to be able to pull that out.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Another thing that goes into my bag of tricks is any exercise that I've done in the past that has actually helped me focus. And on the weekend, I was doing a workshop with Knox Birdie, and his exercise was just go out and photograph light. Stop trying to make subject or photograph subject. Make light your subject. And it was like, oh, yeah, that's a great one. I haven't done that one in so long. And once I headed off and started doing that, I was reminded, like, this is such a valuable thing to be doing, and I need to put this in my bag of tricks to remind myself just to look for the light and not for the subject. And that's been a lifelong lesson, and it was just another way to remind me to focus on what my core of the craft that I pursue as an artist. So light was one of those things. So that just that little one word can just drop into my bag. It's where we need to start as an artist that uses lenses as the medium.
I guess too, you could, another trick would be to go to your community that you've figured out where that is and ask them what theirs are. You know, hey, I'm having this thing. What's your favorite thing for that? Right. And so being able to know where, like, that's what a community could be good for, is finding out what someone else's, what are in other people's bags, bag of tricks.
I used the community many times over my life, but I wanted one word projects, so I just asked for the words and people gave them to me, and I could just type them all up, put them in a bag, and pull one out, and off I go. And 100 words was my goal, and I actually did that multiple times. I have a bag of 500 words. And you
How
can
fun.
Just dip into them. And, I've now handed that bag of words over to Claire, and she pulls them out and posts them once a week for people to work as projects. And like a one-word project is, that's another idea that could go into a bag of tricks, isn't it? And generating it from other people.
Do you know what's something a little silly that's in mine I realized?
What is it?
I I have some sunglasses. I realized I've had sunglasses for, I always wear sunglasses. But I realized that I just kind of bought these, are they Ray-Bans? Oakleys, they're Oakleys. Just kind of on a whim. They're probably at Costco. I love Costco. They always have racks of sunglasses and they're good prices. And anyway, I just bought them. And it wasn't until they broke that I realized that they're in my bag. And so I bought the same pair again because these ones have literal rose-colored lenses. And so it makes everything around me feel like just slightly pink and really happy. It's kind of like your tea where like when I'm going on a hike, I'm like, where are my pink glasses? Because I can put them on and I see everything feels just a little bit happier. And I know that's like that rose color glasses maybe don't necessarily really do anything, but it makes, I feel better. I feel better. I'm like happy to go out and walk. I like having them on. I'll like look at the difference and go, ooh, everything feels so much better when I'm looking at it a little, you know, they're literal rose colored glasses. And I really love them.
Which reminds me of rituals are worth putting into your bag of tricks, aren't they? And if you're someone that has a ritual, it's worth experimenting with that and playing with it and then using it. Like we use physical triggers in our body to center ourselves and to remind ourselves what we're doing. And some people, you know, I don't know what they are. They might tap their head 3 times and turn around. I don't know what other people's rituals are, but like one of my ones, after I've been photographing a tree, I go and touch it and I talk to it and say thank you. Now, that's just a tiny little ritual, and that's in my bag of tricks. And maybe it doesn't do anything for the tree, but it does a lot for me. Like I'm doing it for me. It's my little moment of saying thank you. Thank you for that space and letting me enjoy that moment. And the artwork that I've created might not be any good. That doesn't matter. But the process of making it and being with you and sharing my time with you and being in this creative space with you has been really valuable. So I'm actually really saying thank you to myself, aren't I? I'm saying, hey, geez, that was nice. And I'm so thankful for being here and being in your presence, Mr. or Mrs. Tree. That's
I love it.
Rituals go into your bag of tricks.
I'm going to use it now. Len, I'm so grateful to be in your presence and have these conversations. It's really lovely. I've really enjoyed them over. How long have we been doing this? 2 years?
Oh,
more?
That's it. I don't know. We should look that up.
We should look that up. I think it's been 2 years. Doesn't feel like, it feels like longer, actually. That's not a bad thing.
It might have been pre-COVID. It's been very exciting to be able to.
No, it was not. Oh, we definitely met during COVID. Yeah. Remember Clubhouse? That's when everyone was on Clubhouse. But
oh, was that? Oh, okay. Very good memory. I don't have no idea about that.
The thing is that sometimes you have these like friendships that just feel a little bit timeless. And I feel like that's what this is. So, Len, you're my tree. Thank you for having this conversation with me.
And for those that can't see me, I'm blushing and
I was going to say
very,
that.
Very thankful. And I'm also, there's tears forming in my eyes. Like it's really lovely to hear that. And, you know, taking a moment to share these feelings and thoughts, that should go into your bag of tricks too. And it's so, so valuable to tell people how important they are to you and how much you value them, and to take any opportunity to chat to them and to help and support each other.
Yeah, or you can talk to your art and tell it how much you appreciate it.
And it talks so much back, doesn't it? That's the interesting thing.
Yeah, it does. Isn't that interesting? I love it. I think that's good for today. I think we filled our bag with plenty of things.
I was just going to say that when we talk to our art, we have conversations with it, and that's why we make it, isn't it? And it has mm-hmm. conversations with other people, and it's not voices in our heads, or maybe it is, but it's these thoughts that they inspire, or these feelings that they bring out, or these emotions that surface, and this beautiful reward of enriching our lives through art. And it's not necessarily about making something, it's very much about doing, isn't it? Creativity is very much a doing word, isn't it? Communication.
It's the process. Like you said before we started recording, this is all about the process and not the end result. And so that's why we want to have all of these ideas so we can enjoy the process more and so that our creative work becomes something that we're proud of, that's more about who we are, you know? And I think all of doing so many of those things takes us closer to that. So
our bag of tricks is us collecting things that work for us that help us on our path to creativity and actually diving into it whenever we need to, and using those things. So the process is identifying what works for you, trying other people's tricks, sharing them, and following them, dipping into it when we need to.
Beautiful. And yes, and if you try one of these and you hate it or you love it, email us and let us know. We always put the email address in the episode notes, so you can go find it there.
I'd also love to hear what their tricks are. So I'm sure we've only covered just a tiny, tiny little bit of tricks. Do you have any tricks that you'd like to tell us? And you know, maybe we'll do an episode of sharing your tricks if you write in and tell us some of your tricks. We'd love to know and share them out into the world.
That would be really fun. And I think if people share with us, hopefully you do, then we'll try them and report back in the episode. We do not guarantee that we will try all of them. That was so good. I really enjoyed this one, Len. That was really fun, as always.
It is fun. It was nice because we did one yesterday and we did one today. We have this lovely roll going today, and it's beautiful. So we're going to be recording a lot in the next few weeks. So stay tuned for more, folks.
All right. Well, everyone, until next time, we'll see you later. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us in our creative affair. If you love the passion we bring to this creative content, please support the podcast by sharing with a friend, subscribing, and leaving us a review. To find out more about Len, including his photography, Len's Journal, an inspiring quarterly publication, tours, workshops, and his new art school, The Artist Club, visit lenmetcalf.com. For more about me, Bree Stockwell, visit creativemindscoach.com. There you can subscribe to my Monday motivation emails, learn more about creative coaching, check out my online portfolio, and access searchable transcripts of these episodes. See you next time.